Hello and welcome to the Passion Podcast. This is Louis Giglio at the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia. Great to be back in Atlanta. What an amazing whirlwind 2 weeks we've had. First stop, Dallas, Texas for Passion Dallas. And all I can say was having a jam-packed Nokia Theater was really, really incredible. Made for a whole different vibe. And the weather was horrible, pouring down rain, and you guys were troopers, man. You just came, you stood in the rain, you gave the clothes off your back for students at Union University, and it just was one incredible 27 hours together. We rolled straight out of there, it seems like, into D.C. for Passion D.C., which, you know, technically for all of you people that live in the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, we were in Fairfax, Virginia, which is not in Washington, D.C., and people that live in the district want to make sure you know that, and people who live in Virginia want to make sure we knew that we were in Virginia. So just so everyone knows, we know that we were in Northern Virginia, or NOVA, as the locals like to call it, and, you know, it looked like we were going to get shut down. We have this thing about weather, and that's very biblical, by the way. If you think, man, Passion, they have some bad luck with weather. Well, that's not altogether a terrible thing, but we expected ice, snow, wintry mix, horrible pink, you know, stuff coming across on the weatherchannel.com site. And everybody driving from faraway places, Ohio, Michigan, Canada, Nova Scotia, New York, Kentucky, they were like, man, this is just going to be a nightmare. And we thought, well, it's Passion, what can we do? And we certainly can't change the weather. And I hope you don't think we're people of little faith around here, but I kind of stopped praying about the weather a while back. Now, there goes Jonathan with the first cough of the podcast. Jonathan is not up to speed, and I'm not up to speed, so there might be some wheezing, coughing, and sniffling during the podcast, and we're just going to roll with it because that's what we do here, and we'll send a personal apology note to all 21 listeners in case it gets really complicated or I have a huge coughing fit at some point. But nonetheless, you know, it's the weather, you know, we're not sure. So you pray, and I'm like, God, you know, you made the world, and you're in charge of everything, so you know, the weather's going to be what you want it to be. It's kind of the way I felt about it. And if it's icy and snowing, that's okay. But we got out of Atlanta just in time. We got into D.C. and we kept waiting to see what was going to happen. And as it turns out, to my knowledge, I don't think there was ever a snowflake. There was there might have been one granule of ice on the road. And the roads were dry. It was cold, but it was incredible. And everybody got there. And the weekend went off. I think maybe a handful of people couldn't get there. And these 3,000 people come rolling in the door at the Patriot Center on campus, you know, George Mason University, which is just changes everything. George Mason, if you don't know, out in Fairfax, Virginia, it's a school of about 30,000 students. It's growing really, really fast. Most of those students are commuter students. And we ask on Friday night, there were some friends of ours who lead ministry on the campus, and we asked them, what's going on here? What's the update? They said there are about a dozen Christian organizations on campus. We did a huge all-skate event last year where all the Christian organizations came together, and there were about 200 students that came to it. And I just was floored. I said, that's it? They said, well, maybe if you count the people who could make it, there might be about 300 students on this campus that are actively following Christ. And if you're wondering why Passion exists and why we do what we do and why we've been around for 11 years trying to rally college students to a bigger vision and a bigger story, that's why. George Mason University is why we do what we do. Yes, there are a dozen ministries. That's incredible. Apparently, they have favor with the administration. That's incredible. That's something a lot of you don't enjoy. But 1% of the kids that are in class at that school today are connected to God. And let's say they don't know a lot more and they're a whole lot more because they're commuters that are involved in a local church or some other ministry. Okay, let's triple that number to 900 students. Let's double that to 1,800 students. Okay, that still leaves 21,030. I'm a math's horrible. That's what I got in trouble with in Dallas. What's 30,000 minus 1,800? You can do the math in your head for me. So that's how many kids are on that campus today. I mean, that's just crazy. It's 28,000 plus students are rolling around without any idea what their purpose in life is. And so being in the Patriot Center on that campus, it just changed things. And we had students there from over 260 universities and colleges. I mean, all over the United States, but it's hard to find a school in the Eastern Seaboard that wasn't represented in some way, even if it was just by one student. And they may have come through and more in twos and threes. You know, Dallas, you guys were rocking up with 20s and 30s and 40s. And I know a lot of you came by yourself or just with a couple of pals, but it was a lot of big groups. There's a lot of momentum in the Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri area. And that was beautiful. We loved that. But D.C. was more like, it's me. I came by myself. Or I came with a group and I don't know anybody in it, but I just wanted to go so bad. I joined up with this group, or there's the three of us drove down. And so they came through the door kind of like, you know, we're not sure what we've come to. You know, once again, 90% of the hands went up, first passion event. Of course, we did have a lot of repeat folks from Boston, some repeat folks from Chicago, a few snuck in from LA, and a few from Dallas even. So I have a feeling Atlanta is going to be the Passion Regionals USA reunion event, which would be fine. But most people in the room, first passion event, came with my friends. And so here's this sort of, you know, almost gelling together group of 3,000 students that first night. But man, by the time we left there, something special had happened. And same with Dallas. And it's been true of every city. But when we walked out of D.C., I felt something different than I had at any of the other cities that we've been a part of. And I really sensed that there's some momentum that's going to ripple away from all these regionals, but especially this one for a long time to come. So, Dallas, guys, I'm sorry we didn't do a Dallas regional podcast and you didn't get to yell really loud. You would have been so loud. You would have been the loudest of all the people because there were 6,000 of you crammed in there. But I asked the question again in D.C. and just gave these folks a chance to kind of go on record as Virginia, Maryland, Pittsburgh, Delaware, New Jersey, West Virginia, North Carolina kind of people. And this is their shout out to you guys listening to the podcast today from our Saturday morning session at Passion DC.
So the question's always been, and we overshot Dallas, and anybody listening of the 21 listeners from Dallas, we're sorry that we didn't do a podcast from Dallas, but it was a great time. But from DC, the question always comes like this. We did it Boston, Chicago, and LA. Just wonder if there's anybody in this place today, in Virginia, in the district, in Maryland, in West Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Rhode Island, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Michigan, who love Jesus. So that's the question. Anybody from any of those places today?
So there definitely was a crowd, an excited crowd there, and I just like you hearing that, and I love for you just to remember, and especially I was talking to some students over the weekend that are pretty much by themselves on their campus, and that just maybe you can just hit that rewind right there and go, you know what, I'm a part of something bigger, I'm a part of something bigger, God is doing something amazing, and I'm a part of it. Do Something Now is incredible. I'll just give you the numbers. And by the way, a little bit later in the podcast today, I'm going to let you hear an interview that you do not want to miss. So stick around for that. It's coming at the end of our time today from a student that we met in D.C. And it's just going to absolutely break your heart with joy and with a whole lot of other emotion. Just incredible. But Do Something Now is huge. You Dallas guys knocked it out of the park, I have to tell you. But you should have. There were more of you than anywhere else. And percentage-wise, the other groups are still hanging in there really big time. But then D.C. was cool, too. Dallas, you brought 3,700 towels, 17,800 pairs of socks. So that's huge. D.C., 2,920 towels and 11,117 pairs of socks, which was really incredible. And I heard a story, by the way, about some people that went to Kmart, I think it was. Was it Kmart or Target? I think it was Kmart after the fact, and they were there Friday night or during the day on Saturday looking for towels, and they told the manager, found out what they were doing, and so I'm going to give you 10% off or 15% off or something like that since you're getting them for the Do Something Now thing. And so eventually these kids started gathering together because all these Passion kids are coming in. So they made an announcement over the PA. Anybody here from Passion conferences looking for towels, meet in the home decor section. And so they said about 20 kids sort of gravitated to the home decor aisle. And the manager said, I'm going to give you, you know, XYZ percentage off of whatever towels you guys buy. So they just started piling their money into a big pile. They bought every towel off the aisle, like 105 towels or 150 towels or something like that. And they said they were so excited when they came back for dinner Saturday night. All these kids were coming in with their Kmart bags, and they're like, yep, yep, I was there. Yeah, I was there. So it was really, really cool. 2,920 towels, 11,117 pairs of socks. And Dallas did six wells, $18,992 for Africa. Huge. D.C., look at this. Man, they came through with 14 wells, $42,201 cash given right then and there. And then the offering in Dallas for the World Tour for Soul just rocked us, man, $80,040. And then D.C. offering for Kampala, $36,217. So we've got this matching gift coming for Dallas I told you about on the blog. I don't think we've received it just yet. There was some pretty tragic circumstances that happened in with the family that was giving that gift the day after the weekend, so they've had a lot on their plate. But when that happens, I'll update and let you know. But check out these totals, okay? Five events so far. 12,526 towels and 51,817 pairs of socks going to shelters in five cities. 54 wells with our partner Blood Water Mission. 54 villages in Africa are going to get clean water because of students, because of passion, because of worship, because of seeing a bigger story. And then and that number for those 54 wells, $166,281. That's from college students primarily at events. And that's just huge. Our upside, people, is way bigger than we think it is. And then the offering for the World Tour from these five events so far, $199,000, $199,190. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I think God is happy. I think it's changing the complexion of our weekends. And I don't know if you feel it or not, but it's like, you know, this is not all about us. It's not all about getting what you can and gorging on more God stuff. It's about engaging with a story. It's about saying to God, I want to get something. But, you know, sometimes you get something when you give something. So it's just been huge. In Atlanta, I don't know. Right now, there are 4,500 people signed up for Atlanta, which you're probably thinking doesn't sound like very many, but we're 2 weeks away from the price increase and 40 days away from the event, and that number is huge. 10 days away from the Dallas event, I think we had about 2,600 people registered, and we ended up with 6,000. So, you know, that's a big number right now, and we're hoping to pack out Atlanta, and it should be way bigger than anything we've done so far. And you guys really need to come ready to bring this thing home in a grand fashion. We would love to see you pay for a whole World Tour city. That's about $300,000. We would love to see you do wells and just knock everything out of the park. So you got a great chance to bring us home in a powerful way. Hear a few voices, though, from folks from Dallas and D.C., just giving you a little glimpse of what was going on in their hearts over the course of the weekend. And I'll be back with you right after we listen to these guys share.
Hi, my name is Brett Miller, and I go to Kilgore College. And the thing about Passion Conference is it's really just about coming together with just a generation to praise God and to worship His name. And over the past few years, as I've come, just continually seeing this generation worshiping just offers so much hope.
My name is Kate Vadrine, and I go to Laterno University, and I've really just been reminded of the simplicity of the cross and just how amazing it is, and it's just really awesome to return back to that. We get caught up in our daily lives so often with doctrinal controversies and different things in life, but it's just so awesome just to remember the message of the cross and how simple and powerful it is.
My name is Marcus High. I go to Southeastern Oklahoma State University, and what I'm taking away from this conference is go back and impact my campus, because I'm really not doing that much. Being a football player, I don't get around as much as I should, and it's teaching me to go back and do that.
My name is Lauren Williams, and I'm a recent graduate from Thomas Edison State College. And what I've come away from this conference is that it was incredible. The first night they talked about how it's not about me, and that really had never hit home. I really saw the Bible as God's love letter to us, which is true, but it blew me away when he talked about how we get to be part of such a bigger picture. It's so much more, and it's incredible that we get to be a part of that.
And I've just had an incredible time of Passion. I heard Louis speak at 722 when I went there. I snuck in as a high school student because I wasn't really allowed to go, but just hearing him speak and then being part of this whole movement for people our age is just absolutely incredible.
Hi, I'm Nina Devershadza. I'm from Liberty. It's my second passion, and actually last year's passion completely changed my life. Like, I did a whole 180.
My name is Stephanie Weaver, and I go to Georgetown. And one of the things I've taken away from it is, coming from a Catholic school and a Catholic background, it's kind of hard. We aren't really raised to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and although we believe in God and the faith and stuff, I kind of learned how close you can get to Jesus if you really open up your heart to him and like welcome him in, so through like worship and things like that.
My name's Brittany Kaiser, and I go to Towson University in Maryland. And this week, this weekend, I just really realized that God just is raising up a generation just for his name, not even just in the United States, but across the world, and just people around the world just worshiping him and just seeing everyone together, rising up together as a nation to praise the Lord. It's been great.
You know, it's just great hearing students share like that and knowing, you know, how things are landing. In fact, I just loved it. We listened to, I'm sorry we couldn't get everybody in. There was a bunch of great little interview things, but we listened to all of them just now, Jonathan and I did, and it's just cool listening to how the messages or how the weekend kind of lands differently in everybody's heart. But speaking of anagrams, we just had Mad Tartman come into the Passion House.
That is me.
We just dropped in. Matt Beth Redman came by the Passion House. Beth didn't want any part of this podcast, and so she's gone.
I think it's Mad Tartman, by the way.
It's Tartman.
Yeah.
Tartman, plural.
Yeah, plural, yeah.
That's what I said.
Okay, just checking.
I have this thing going, though. I'm down in my radio voice today, so.
Just checking.
Yeah, Mad Tartman.
Yeah, okay.
Is the anagram, folks, and you can get that at mattredmond.com/anagrams for free. And I think it's, what's it, $2.99 or whatever,
yeah.
If they send it to you.
Yeah, it's a new thing. I think it's going to gain some ground,
absolutely.
This ministry.
Absolutely. But you guys were in Atlanta. Welcome to the Passion House, by the way. And I just grabbed you really fast because you're coming by. You're on your way back home to the UK right now, actually. But it's great being in DC. Thank you so much for coming. And, you know, we never take it for granted that you got to cross an ocean. And it's a big deal to come over and hang out with us. And it's just so cool having the team. You know, these teams just feel so good. And it's felt really great this weekend, especially. You had a singer with you from Zimbabwe who lives in England. Had a drummer from England who's originally from...
He's down in Brighton.
He's
near,
from Brighton.
Near where I am, yeah.
You had Andrew playing with you, who's South African.
Yeah.
And then we had some of Chris's guys playing.
Yeah. So, and I brought an intern also, who's from South Africa, who's at a church. And, you know, you say you don't take it for granted, me coming. But for me, I don't take it for granted coming. It's such a special thing. And I was reminded of that just at the end. This intern guy called Jono, he said, you know, that was one of the best weeks of my life. He just said, I just met with God and counted to God, and it made me realize, you know, you can so easily take these things for granted, and it's especially when you're doing a few in a row, but actually every single one's just been marked by the grace and power of God, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah, I think when you texted me and told me that, it really was a huge encouragement to me, and I felt encouraged because this was our fifth one, and you've been at three, Charlie's been at two, Crowder's been at one, two. Chris has been at the five I've been at. Francis has been at three now. Piper was with us for two. But for me, you know, it's the fifth time around. And the sessions are the same. We're trying to share the same thing. So we're not, for you guys coming to Atlanta, we're not trying to come up with new talks. We really feel like God has laid something on our hearts to deposit in these regionals. And, you know, I kind of felt like, man, by D.C., we're just going to be going numb, you know, mentally with what's going on. But then the opposite was true. I felt like every weekend I'm walking away feeling like the message, like I know what I'm carrying was the same, but God breathed on it differently somehow. And then you brought this brand new song to DC, which, by the way, you need to tell people the lyrics up because we're getting a lot of requests on the blog for that. And so you brought a new song back in Chicago, God of Our Yesterdays. You brought this brand new song to DC. But I walked out of DC feeling almost like we hadn't done it before.
Yeah.
It was a really cool thing. And then when you texted me and told me what Jono said, I was like, is it Jono or Jono?
Jono.
It's more like Jono.
Yeah. Jono.
People want to call him Jono. Yeah, Bono. Like Jono. I was just like, you know, that's the eyes. That's cool. You know, because for him, it was just like, wow.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
a really cool time. And that's awesome that he was able to be there. With this new song.
Yes. Well, we didn't do the verses yet. I'm trying to figure out if they're finished. So it's always a risky thing. But yeah, the
and
song's
you
called...
don't want anybody to help you finish them. I just need to add that for free. So we're not really looking for a lot of emails going to Matt Redman this week. I got a great idea for the verse.
Yeah, the song's called You Alone Can Rescue. And I've been writing a few salvation songs recently. And I'm loving it. I love finding a fresh way to sing about that. So, yeah. So I guess watch out for it. Let's check it's finished before we start putting the lyrics up. But the
part that you did sing is like what? You don't have to sing it. But
you alone can rescue. You alone can save. You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. And then the second chorus says, now we are more than conquerors through your deathless love. And nothing, Lord, will have a hold on us. You're the saving promise. You will never fail. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
And then the little chorus, the little...
Yeah, little bridge is, we lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. So, yeah, that's
the song. So we're not putting that down in stone, the little asterisks here, that some of that might change down the road, but a lot of people are asking, I got part of that song, what's the rest of it?
Oh, that's really
and, interesting. And they don't even know that it's not really a song yet, so...
Yeah.
That's a special gift, Matt, when you can come and do a song that's not even a song and people think it's a song. So
yeah,
wow.
No, it felt right for the time, but it was good.
Yeah. What? Tell me, you were at Chicago, you were with us in L.A. What's your kind of takeaway from D.C.? What's that thing that's stuck in your heart, either personally or just you still shaking your head about it?
There's a few things. The whole kind of Ashley story, I can't hear it too much. It seems like every time we hear it again, there's a new piece anyway. And that's amazing. And the other thing would be the story of, I think her name was Sam, the Chinese lady that you had up the front and interviewed. And I mean, she was just so impressive. And we chatted about this. She had no idea how much she was. And really, I guess it's God in her. And he's given her an amazing personality, but also a great story. And just hearing a part of her story and her passion. There's something about those moments when it's almost like it opens up a little window into someone else's world. You know, she's over there in China, a few hours from Hong Kong, and we know nothing about her. And then suddenly, she's like a little window through which we see something of what God's doing over there. And it kind of opens for a minute, and then it shuts again, and you just stand there thinking, wow, that's amazing. Like, that's what encouraged me so much about these things, is that the kingdom of God is advancing all the time, and we have a heart for the nations, and we don't have the tiniest clue of what God's doing around the world. He's working in individuals' lives and when you add up all those individual lives, the scale of it's just incredible. And so just it felt like those 30 minutes when you interviewed her, it was like this little window opening up, and we saw, wow, check that out, what God's doing there. And then it shuts again, and you just left, I guess, encouraged thinking, yep, the kingdom of God is a whole lot more exciting and bigger than we ever knew.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned that just before we came to you for this little part of the podcast, that I had something really special coming up for people. And it's this interview with this college student from mainland China that came with our Hong Kong team. We've been trying to bring world partner friends to each of the regionals. And so we had people in Dallas, mostly from Korea, but we also had people from other countries there as well. From Mexico City, we had our team up as well. So it's mostly the Seoul, Korea, Mexico City folks. But in D.C., we had folks from Paris, folks from London, and Hong Kong. And they've just randomly sort of connected via email with this college student who's in mainland China.
Yeah.
And by a weird set of circumstances, she wanted to try to come to the regional, and we wanted to try to help her. I met her Friday night after the session and was completely blown away by her story. Asked her if I could interview her for the podcast on Saturday, which you're going to hear in just a few minutes. And then after listening to her do the podcast, I was like, for crying out loud, you're just going to share tonight. You know, you need to be the one that's really leading this thing tonight in terms of opening our eyes to see what God's doing in the world. And so she's on stage with the other guests from Hong Kong, 21 years old. Standing in front of 3,000 people, I hand her the microphone, and it's as if God just wired her up for that moment, and it was so powerful. So I want to introduce you guys to Sam Liu. It's okay for you to know her name, by the way. It's just not a good idea for you to see her face or any video, so there won't be any of that anywhere around to be seen, but she's going to share now. This is us and back in my dressing room with she and some of our other Hong Kong folks, and you'll get to hear Mr. Matt Redman sound checking take it to the streets.
I apologize for that.
Quite loudly. So you'll hear kind of nice interview, then after a while you start hearing a lot of sort of sounds like the
herd
of cattle are coming down through the through the concourse, and that's courtesy of Matt Redman. But thanks for just popping in even for a little bit today. I know you guys are on the way. This is Sam Liu. Get ready. This is going to really encourage you.
Okay, so this is Louis on the Passion Podcast, and I'm sitting in my green room at the Patriot Center at George Mason University, or just Mason, as we're learning while we're here in Northern Virginia. Nobody says George Mason University. That's only the visitors from Atlanta. Mason is where we are, and weekend's going pretty incredible, but I want to introduce you to somebody that I got a chance to meet last night. We've got teams, as you know, coming to these regional events from all around the world. So at D.C., we've got folks from France, from Paris, folks from London here, and folks from Hong Kong here, and it's just people we've met along the way and are bringing them to Passion so they can kind of see what it is, what it looks like, and maybe catch vision for what could happen back in their country. And so I was meeting the Hong Kong guys last night, some of our team that have been partnering with them, and I ended up meeting Sam Liu, and I want to introduce you guys to Sam. So everybody say hello to Sam out there. Sam, thank you for coming and being with us today.
You're welcome. I'm glad that I'm here.
Yeah, Sam is from Guangzhou, China.
Yes.
Which is that okay if we say where you're from? You know, over here people are real careful about saying that, and they always say East Asia. So she's from Guangzhou, East Asia, which is in China. But I think that's okay, because you said there's a lot of Sams over there, so you feel like you're okay, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and you're a college student?
Yeah.
Yeah, how much more time do you have to go in school?
A few more months.
A few more months, and then you're going to graduate. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And you were telling me you're an English major.
Yes, I'm an English major, and my concentration is translation.
Wow, that's cool. Your English is absolutely mind-boggling. I'm just sitting there listening to you talk going, wow. So anyway, we met last night, and your story just blew me away. And so I want you to tell a little bit of your story for the folks on the podcast. You were telling me just earlier that you kind of grew up your whole life. None of your family goes to church. None of your family are Christians. But you kind of had this struggle that you were having personally, and that sort of led you to church. And then when you got there, something pretty crazy happened. Tell us about what happened.
Well, it's like my life is all about study or getting good grades. And I mean, that's pretty much all the students are focused on in China. I mean, like, I feel like the only way I can earn love or earn attention from people is to be the top student. And so I try everything I can. And the crazy thing is that, like, the more I try, the more I fail. And I remember there was one time in my middle school, my teachers crossed my name out and say, this person is no hope. I was trying so hard, but she said I had no hope. So it was really hard. And I feel like I try to help, but like people just count me out. And so I finally, like when I go to my freshman year in college, I just decided to be a bad person. Maybe that can change something. But it doesn't. Like in the first semester, I really don't have any friends. But amazingly, I met some people who are Christians, and they go to church. They know Americans. Oh, maybe it can help me learn English. So I just go to church with them, and it's different. Like people at church are different. The feeling I got at church is different. And so I want to go more. Maybe I can find something. But I talked to my friend. I was like, there's no way that I'm going to believe it, because I've been taught my whole life, and I've been tested on it, that there's no God in the world. I thought it would be stupid for me to believe. But God amazed me in the next few months. He brought people to me. Like, I even met Christians in the subway. Like, they just came to me and talked to me. Like, wow. I didn't arrange that. And so I feel like God is so real, and then he changed me, gave me the peace. And I remember one night, almost at midnight, I was sitting there. I was like crying, like, I cannot resist it anymore. God is so real. So it's like, take me, Jesus.
Wow. So right there at midnight, you just thought, you know what, this is too good. I got to have Christ in my life. And you just invited Christ to come and be part of your life.
Yes.
That's such an amazing story, Sam. It's powerful. And just to think that the grace of God is that strong to find us like that, it's so cool. And so you were telling me, though, last night, you knew about Passion. You were telling me about the talks from Passion 07, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And so how did you get connected with the Passion movement, and how did you sort of join our story?
Wow. I try to put the long story short. It's like I met a team, a college student from Louisiana State University in 2004 in the summer. And they went to my church. They basically do evangelism there. And so I met them up, and then I tried to ask if I can help them settle or anything. So I got a hook up with them, help with translation in Bible study. And so since then, every summer I hang out with them and the fellowship with them, and it's amazing. And they would brought me some music, and they play music during worship, and they sang a lot of songs from Passion, and they are crazy about Passion. And so that's how I got to know. I just love the music. I never thought that I would have a chance to be, like, basically experience it. Last summer, a girl from LSU, she attended Passion 07. She brought back a DVD, which I asked if it's okay for me to, like, copy it into my computer. And then she said, yeah, okay. So I copy it, and then I watched one after another. I was so amazed. And then Louis talked about so much thing about China. I was like, wow, they know about China, and even like the dangerous part of China. I was like, wow. And then in the end, he talked about Passion is going on a world tour. It was so amazing. So I searched the internet and find out a website and find out an email. I was trying to see if I can get a ticket. But honestly, I didn't even expect a reply, because I thought people would usually be so busy. But the next, after a few days, I got a reply. And Jane is the one who is in contact with me. She asked me my story. I just basically told her. And then one night, she emailed me that invitation letter. I felt like, wow, is that real? I mean, like, that's a miracle.
That's so crazy. So you're looking down this list you were telling me on our website. And you're not alone there, by the way. There have been a lot of people looking down that list on that website going, when is the date going to be there, and when is the venue going to be there? But you go to the website, 268 Generation, you look down the list, and you see Hong Kong, and you freak out.
Yeah. At that time, I was eating my dinner. I basically just dropped my box, and was like, wow, Hong Kong.
That's pretty crazy. And that's how far from where you are to Hong Kong?
Maybe 3 hours by bus or 2 hours by train.
So it's 2 hours on a train to Hong Kong. So when Passion comes to Hong Kong, you're going to be right there worshiping with us.
Yes, if the Lord allows me.
If the Lord allows you to. And you were just telling me the most amazing story, like for a month leading up to coming to D.C. We invited you just to come here and hang out with us. And the government, one day they said, yes, you can go. And then the next day they would send you something and say, no, you can't go. And the next day it would be on. The next day it would be off. And even your family wasn't sure what was going on, because you were telling me that they're not really into the whole Jesus thing. And they weren't even all that excited about you coming to this thing. So you weren't sure for a while whether it was going to work out.
Yeah, it was really crazy. Like, one day I feel like God is opening the door. And then the next day I feel like the door had is shut. It's so hard. Like, I don't know if God, it's God's will, or it's just my dream, hoping that maybe my dream is God's dream. I was so scared that I'm disobeying God by pursuing my own desire. But there's like a desire in me not to give up. And so I just try.
So you told me last night, it kind of floored me when you said it. And by the way, that's Matt Redman sound checking in the background, so I don't know how loud that is. There's nowhere in this building we can get right now where it's totally quiet. So if you're hearing that, we're trying to be as close as we can. I don't have a voice, and Sam's kind of soft-spoken, so we're doing our best, okay? This is high-tech, this podcast, Sam. We've got 21 listeners, by the way. I don't know if I told you that worldwide. There are almost two dozen people listening to this right now, so don't be nervous by that. But you told me something that floored me last night, because you said that, I mean, there are 3,000 people in this building, and we were just going nuts last night. I mean, celebrating, dancing, shouting. And you said, I've never been able to worship like that in my whole life. And it just absolutely floored me, because most of us have been to a lot of things like this, and we're very used to being in a room full of university-age people doing what we're doing here. And you just looked at me and said, I've never had the chance to do this before. Tonight was the first time I ever got to worship like this in my whole life. What was that like? And tell me what you were talking about when you said that.
I mean, like, we in China, like, at least in my region, we don't worship like that. We go to church and we do sing aloud and we gather, but not so many people of my age feeling the same thing about God and just lifting our hands up and crying out, Lord. Like, God, wow. I mean, so it's just amazing. A lot of time I just feel really alone, like, thinking about I love Jesus, because basically most people around me, they don't really believe in Jesus. Some of them think it's crazy, some think, like, maybe I can try it out. But a lot of time, just like you said, like, I sat in my own dorm room, I feel like I was the only Christian. It's not really true, but that's the way I feel.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty cool to look around this room and know that you're a part of a big wave of other 21-year-olds out there in the world.
Yeah, I can shout loud, like, freely, like dance, jump.
So did you do a little dancing last night?
Yeah.
So did you shout as loud as you could?
You can tell from my voice. That's why I talk so soft right now.
Oh, man. We got to get near each other in the worship tonight, because I want to see you going for it. That's going to be awesome. I don't have a voice either, but who cares, right? I want you to pray for people.
Okay.
The people listening to this podcast, because I have a feeling that there are people sitting there right now going, Louie, just stop talking and let Sam talk some more. Because there's something about your heart that's really powerful and winsome, you know, in the sense that when people hear you talk, it draws them in to the truth of what you're saying. And God has really done something amazing. I say amazing a lot, and you do too. Did you notice that? I'm so glad, because I catch myself saying amazing all the time, and I know the podcast listeners are like, everything's amazing, Louie. It's amazing every time Louie says something, and you've said amazing a lot, so I'm glad we got that in common. But it is amazing what God's doing in your life. And there are a lot of college students listening to this. Some of them are in America. Some kids at LSU are listening to this. Is that pretty cool? Do you want to give a shout-out to LSU?
Yeah, please come to China next summer, or maybe the summer after that.
Do they tell you that they're the Bengal Tigers, that that's their mascot, and that they're crazy about football? Do you know that?
Yeah, they have just been the champion.
They are the champions. They are the national football champions, and so we should give them a shout-out for that.
Yeah, go Tigers.
They beat my team that I cheer for on the very last play of the game on a miracle play, and that's how they got to be the national champions. It was a very miraculous event. On the very last play of the game with time running out. But that's beside the point. That's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
So shout out to the LSU people. So some kids are at LSU listening to this. Some kids are in New York City listening to it in an apartment by themselves, and they think, like you felt, like they're the only Christian around. Somebody in England's listening to it. And somebody in Hong Kong's listening to it right now. And you're encouraging them that if God could come and swoop down into your heart in Guangzhou, the only believer in your family, feeling like your whole life was a failure, feeling like you weren't going to ever get over that hump, and now you believe that God loves you, and you were telling me that it's just confirmed all over again today that God has a plan for you and you're going to make it in life, that God has a story for you. That's really encouraging people right now. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray in your language, because I find people like to pray better in their own language. And no, we won't know what you're praying, but we'll believe that you're praying for us. And I just want you to pray for these kids, that God would encourage them, that He would strengthen them. And if there's any of them that felt like you felt in those days, that they believe today that God loves them and has a plan for them. Would you be willing to pray for them like that?
Yeah, but can I have a request?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I pray in English?
You can pray in English. I would love for you to. Your English is amazing. See, there it is again. Yeah. Absolutely. I'd love for you to pray in English. Go for it.
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being the Lord and thank you for being the Savior. There's no way we can earn salvation from you. It's all from your grace. It's all for your grace. That I just pray that when we are, when we experience all those difficulties, you just came in and tell us that you are always there. It was so scary. To feel like you are not there, and then we are just struggling basically by ourselves. But that's not true. Don't let us be convinced by those evil voices. And Father, just pray that you touch our hearts and confirm us, even though we don't know what the next step is. I pray that while we are feeling alone, you are with us, and you take us one step after another, and just lead us through those dark times, and let us see that you are the only light of the world in your life. And you are what we need, and you are all that we want for. Let us submit our life into your hands and live for you. And God, just overwhelm us with your love and change our lives. Change people around us so that they will come to you and bow down and cry out, praise God, Jesus Christ. I pray for people from all around the world, especially people from China. I pray that God, you will let them hear more about you. There are so many people who are hungry so much for you, and they just don't have the chance to really get to know you. I mean, in a deeper way. So I pray that they will have more chances and more people will go tell them and follow them up and just show the way you change their life and how they can be changed. God, I also pray for the Passion Hong Kong events and pray that we don't know the steps right now, but as you have taken us one step after another, we know that you will take us there eventually, and it's all for your name and it's all for your glory, not for us but for you, God. Just want to give all our heartfelt thanks, all our gratefulness to you, and may all the glories be yours. In your son's beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Amen, man. Lord, thank you for Sam. Just thank you that she is the face of this wave of young college students around the world that really have stirred your heart and then caused you to stir our hearts to want to go to places like Hong Kong. I just thank you that Sam is just sitting right before us today as a living picture of the story of grace. I thank you that it's a salvation that reaches every nation, every people, every city, every campus, and every dorm. There's no place on this planet that you are not working today, and I just thank you for that. There is no university campus that you're not active right now, reaching into the hearts of people that feel hopeless and helpless and left out of life. And I just thank you, God, that your arm is not too short to save. And I just praise you for the way that you just rescued Sam and the way that you just awakened her and put such a sweet spirit in her heart and a joy in her heart. And Lord, we pray for her in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen her and establish her in her faith, Lord. We pray that you would use her as a light in Guangzhou, Lord, and to her family, her campus, and to the world, Lord. And I thank you that what we're going to sing tonight is true, that greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in her city, Lord, and that she is going to see the salvation of God. And Lord, I want to thank you for these LSU kids and students like them who are going around the world to tell the story of Jesus. And I thank you that we're seeing that that is the thing just by this conversation today. So thank you for that, God. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I am speechless. And I was when I first talked to Sam. I was really blown away when she shared. And hopefully at some point we might make her interview from the main session available as well. She says when I'm talking to her what you just heard, I don't know if you got the context or not, but she studies all day. If she's awake, she's studying. And the only time basically she doesn't study is when she's eating her meal. And she'll watch a movie or a DVD or a talk or sermon or surf the web. So she's eating her dinner. She's surfing the web. She clicks World Tour. She sees Hong Kong. And she says, I dropped my box. And she said later in the session, I dropped my rice bowl on the table, and everybody just laughed hysterically. And I'm like, yeah, that's what happens to all of us when we, you know, get news like that. We just drop our rice bowl. But that's the world tour, is what I'm trying to say to you. And it was never easier to take up an offering for the world tour than when Sam got finished talking, because I could just say, you know what, you're not giving money to Passion. You're not giving money to our idea. You are giving money to Sam Liu. She is who's on the other end of these emails, the other end of these phone calls, and the other end of these prayers. And she represents countless students around the world who are saying, I'd give anything if I had the chance to be a part of something like this. And you heard her say in the interview, and she said it again in the session, that she never worshipped in a room with 10 people her age before, much less 3,000 people her age before. And somebody saw her in the Saturday night session, and so they kind of caught her eye, and she was dancing, jumping, going crazy. And that was the first time in her 21 years of life that she'd ever been able to celebrate God like that. And that's why we're going to Hong Kong, China, and that's why we're going to Kampala and Sao Paulo and to Stockholm. And your prayers and your gifts are making it possible, but please know, it's not for the sake of Passion. It is not for the sake of a movement or a tour. It's for the sake of people, real college students who are hungry for that kind of an experience. And all I can say is, wow. And Sam has problems getting the podcast. She said, I can download it, but it doesn't play. But Sam, if you ever do hear this somehow, man, we love you so much. And God used you so powerfully in our lives. And I really, really pray we get to see you in Hong Kong in October. That's going to do it for us. A couple of quick things before we get away on this edition of the Passion Podcast. I want to update you on Union. You know, seeing the kids in Dallas give a 26-foot U-Haul truck packed front to back, top to bottom with their clothes was one of the most stunning acts of worship I think I've ever seen. And it wasn't that they gave the clothes, it was how they gave them. There was so much. I am so excited to do this. And we're talking about Uggs that look like a girl got them for Christmas, you know, and they're only like 3 weeks old. We're talking about nice hoodies, nice jeans, belts, and they just brought it in by the bag load. And we shipped it off to Union. A bunch of you found out about it through the blog and started sending other stuff there. They are completely overwhelmed with clothes. They don't need any more clothes. They do need some bedding, sheets, towels, blankets, pillowcases, pillows, and toiletries are the things that they still do need. But what they really need in Union University are people. And they need some of you guys listening to the blog to go to Jackson, take a day, go help them sort the clothes and figure out how to organize them. And I'm going to give you a contact number, but I just am pleading with you. You have to be on the ball if you want to help them. So if you're not helpful, then just pray for them. But if you're one of those helpful kind of people, like you can figure things out on your own and get the plan together, that's who they need, because they are completely floored and they don't need us to be emailing them five times. We think we're coming tomorrow. Well, we can't come tomorrow. Can we come next Tuesday? Well, we can't come Tuesday. Can we come Wednesday? They need people that say, we're going to show up. You just point us in the right direction, and that's all you have to do. And we're out of your way, out of your business, and we're going to help you more than clog up the system. The number is 731-668-1094, 731-668-1094, and that's Jared Schuler's number. He's the contact person at Englewood Baptist Church. You can find them online, Englewood Baptist Church in Union and Jackson, Tennessee. But it would be awesome if a few of you guys would get up there over the next week or two and spend some time helping them with manpower. That's what they need more than anything else. And thank you guys in Dallas for being a part of a really beautiful story and being a part of something really special happening in the lives of students there. Coming up on the blog is going to be First Monday for March, which is hard to believe it's March, but hello. And that's going to be posting this coming Monday if you're listening to this over the weekend. And I'd love for you just to come by there. There'll be 16 specific ways that you can pray for the world tour and for upcoming Passion events, for the Passion movement, for what we've done. And it would mean a lot to us if all 21 of you could download that. Jonathan's going to put a printable version on there. You can print it, stick it in your Bible or journal. And it'd be really awesome if we knew there were 21 podcast listeners all praying for those 16 things. I mean, just think about that. That's 21 times 16. That's a huge number of people praying, and it would really mean a lot to us. We love seeing you guys' faces in D.C. and Dallas, and we haven't forgotten you guys in L.A., Chicago, and Boston. And we are so happy to be in this with you. God is big, and he's looking for fruitcakes who are weird in the right ways. and normal in the right ways. And I think if that's who we are today and we're believing in the power of the Holy Spirit like we've been hearing about on these weekends, then greater things have yet to come. And it's not just a cliche. Greater things are still to be done in your city, on your campus, in your family. God is a really big God. I'm so excited to be in this with him today. And it really is for his fame and his renown. That's what it's really all about. So thanks for being with us today. We'll see you soon on the Passion Podcast.